Until recently, 32-year-old Jillian Corey spent her days teaching English at Memorial High School in Manchester.
This is our main office and reception area through here. Usually two secretaries up front. One of them actually was part of the layoffs that the school district went through. So we'll have to figure out how that's going to work in the fall.
But Corey won't be here in the fall. She was one of dozens of teachers and staff laid off from the school district last spring. She's logged 5 years here. And pink slip or no, Jillian Corey seems to belong at Memorial. Case in point, we're walking around the mostly empty school right now. As we make our way past open lockers waiting for their final summer washdown, no one's bothered.
Hi, Shando. How are you? How's it going? Good.
Even if Corey doesn't officially work here anymore, no one finds it strange that she would pop in. But when we arrive at her old classroom, a locked door shatters the illusion.
Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be able to get into this particular classroom of mine, but I can show you another one of the classrooms that I work in.
The Merrimack Valley, where the bulk of Granite Staters live, is also where most public employees work. Since the economic downturn, the region's felt the brunt of deep cuts to state and local governments. As a city built around now-defunct textile mills, Manchester has deep working-class roots. And it's also a major resettlement point for refugees. It's not a place known for its affluence. And that's reflected in education funding. According to state figures, only one town contributes less money per child. After a long budget standoff between the city and the teachers' union earlier this year, the state's largest school district handed nearly 140 teachers pink slips last May. One of them was Jillian Corey.
Being 5 years in, when I started the school year, I certainly thought I was perfectly safe from any sort of harm of this nature. I'm fairly involved in this school. I have my piddly little garden club that the kids get to play around in the dirt. I was on faculty council while I was here, so it made me very sad.
Now it makes her worried. When the economy hit bottom a few years ago, she was able to buy a house in Manchester at an interest rate that a single teacher could afford. She drives a modest, compact car and doesn't really live the high life. She feels like she did everything right, yet she lost her job anyway.
Unemployment, to be very frank with you, does not cover half of my salary. It will not be enough to cover my bills eventually. And when I talk about not covering my bills, I'm not talking about, you know, my Gucci bill. I'm talking about, you know, regular day-to-day, flipping on the lights kind of thing. I'm certainly not going to lose my house over this situation. That is not what's going to happen.
Recently, she's been given a reason to hope. The city and school district came up with about $4 million in one-time funding. They're calling back 62 teachers. Corey's hoping to get her callback letter, but says even if it comes through, her prospects aren't necessarily bright at this point.
There's hardly a person in this building that could tell you that they have not lost their job in this district before. And I'm very, very serious about this. Quite honestly, whether I receive my job back this year or not, I will probably be faced with the same scenario next year. It's entirely possible. Because it's Band-Aids. We're putting Band-Aids on the problem.
While she's attached to Manchester and Memorial, Corey's hedging her bets, looking for work in other districts now, too. But a lot of laid-off teachers are doing the same. Competition is fierce. If it comes down to it, she knows she might have to choose between getting a job outside of teaching and saving her house or staying an unemployed teacher. For State Impact New Hampshire, I'm Amanda Loader.